I want to talk to you tonight about grace giving. Grace giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they are willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. So he's writing to the Corinthians, telling them about the Macedonians and what they've done, and he sends Titus to help the Corinthians come to the same place. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence, and your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be at first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. Now let's go to chapter 9 in verse 1. For as touching the ministry to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the frowardness of your mind, for which I boast of you in to them in Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain on this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready, lest happily if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he is purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministered seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection of the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayers for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's pray. Father, we've read several verses tonight, and I pray that you might give us understanding about this subject of grace giving. And I pray that we might be those who practice that, and that we might be willing to give as you've directed us to. I just pray that you might use the Word of God to speak to our hearts, give me enablement to bring the message, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God's people working together can do a lot for the Lord. And the passage we've read tonight tells us about the Macedonian church who had participated in giving far above they were what they were really able to, it would seem that way, and they sacrificed in their giving to help the poor saints at Jerusalem. And Paul was collecting an offering, you might say, for the saints of Jerusalem, and he was going around from church to church, and they were promising certain things, they were giving certain things, and the Macedonians, they had given, and they were really poor people themselves, but they had given. And so Paul writes to the Corinthians, said, now you said you were going to give a year ago. You decided that you're going to give. And when we come by, I don't want you to be ashamed, so I want you to really to follow through what you said you were going to do. And in that whole story then, he tells us about grace giving. And we base our practice of faith promise giving for missions on this passage and others as well. But the principle here is that we determine by God's grace that we're going to give to the Lord to meet a need. And then we trust God to meet that, to use us to meet that need. And so we, in our church, we do faith promise giving. That means we determine that we're going to give so much a month or a year, whatever it might be, to missions. And I have made the determination what I'm going to give to missions, and I'm sure you have too. And so we give monthly. Our faith promise is a monthly thing, so we give monthly. And what we give supports all those missionaries back there on the board, all those ribbons going to those different countries. And our support of missionaries is not a percentage of our giving, but it's what people designate to give to missions. And it's based on this principle here of grace giving. In that day, they had a need. It was the suffering saints at Jerusalem. And this method was developed so that people could give to that need. Today, we also have a need. And that is we have a need to get the gospel out to other people. And we send missionaries, and they have needs because they need to get to the field. They can't provide the money themselves. They need people to help them. And so they go from church to church, trying to get churches to take them on, support them. And so our churches will have, our missionaries will have many churches that support them. Just a small amount maybe each month, but many churches together equals a large amount, and they're able to go and do the work. And so that's the way we support missions here at our church. But I'd like tonight to take just a few minutes to look at this principle of grace giving. First of all, we're going to see the origin of grace giving. The origin of grace giving is grace giving comes from the grace of God. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. What the churches of Macedonia were able to do was the grace of God. The fact that they were able to do it, the fact that they were given the privilege to do it, and able financially to do it was all the grace of God. So the origin of grace giving is the grace of God. And so also the grace giving is demonstrated on the cross of Calvary, because the Lord says in verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So Jesus came, he sacrificed so that he could give to us, and he died on the cross for our sins. And he's sort of the standard, you might say, for our giving. It's grace giving. We find also that this great gift of the Lord is shown in the last part of chapter 9. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Whatever gift we give to the Lord is nothing compared to his unspeakable gift. And that's Jesus Christ. He gave it all for us. So the origin of grace giving is grace. It comes from the grace of God. Also, the character of grace giving. It's given of grace. Look at chapter 8, verse 6. It says, it is in so much that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. So what's the character of this kind of giving? The Lord says it's grace giving. I mean, the very fact that we're able to do it, that's gracious. The Lord would allow us to do that. And he wants Titus to teach the Corinthians this grace. The Macedonians were giving, because of the grace of God, but the fact that they did, that they actually gave, was grace. And he says, I want to develop in you this grace that they have. And so the giving of it is grace. It's of grace. The Bible says that God loved us, and he sent his son to die for us, and that's grace. Somebody has used the acrostic, you know, for grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, G-R-A-C-E. And that's what it is. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. And so the character of this giving is we don't really deserve to do it. It's really grace giving. So if you give to the Lord, you might think, well, I'm giving to missions and I give so much a month. Don't expect a pat on the back. You don't deserve the privilege to even give. In fact, everything you have came from the Lord. I've illustrated before, you know, when you give to the Lord, it's like me having you come up on the platform, get your billfold out of your pocket, reach in there, get a $20 bill and give it to you, and said, I want to give you money. Your response was, wait a minute, that's my money. That's what the Lord does. He says, I gave everything to you that you have, and I'm asking you to give some of it back to me. It's mine, but I ask you to give it to me. And the Lord blesses us for giving us his money. I mean, that's wonderful. That's grace. So the Macedonians giving to the Lord, the character of that giving was, it was grace. It was grace giving. The gift giving is grace. The giving of it is grace. Look at verse 4. It says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. It's interesting that in the Greek, the word gift there is the same word grace. You would receive the grace. So gift and grace is the same word here. Verse 19, it says that too. And not that only, but who also was chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace. So the gift that Paul was carrying around to take to the church at Jerusalem, given by the Macedonians and the Corinthians and others, it was called grace. I mean, the fact that we're given this to the Jerusalem church, it's a grace gift to them. And so all of it comes from grace, and it is grace. It's a grace gift. Now let's notice the recipients of this grace gift in this passage anyway. Look at verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Now, Paul must have seen the Macedonians' condition and know they really couldn't afford this. And maybe Paul balked a little bit and said, no, you all can't afford this. But with much entreaty, they begged Paul and said, you take this gift. And he said, it's for the ministering to the saints. So the money was given to the ministering to the saints. Now in our missionary giving, our money is given to minister to the saints who are taking the word of God to those who don't know Jesus. So all the money we send is given to the missionaries that they might do the work of the Lord. And so it's given to the saints to do the work of the Lord, and that's what was true here. But not only is it given to the saints, it also is given to the Lord. Look at verse 5. In this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So they gave their own selves to the Lord. They're giving them of their money to the Lord. They also gave themselves to the Lord. That's why they could do it sacrificially, because it involved their own self. I mean, they sacrificed because their self was dedicated to the Lord. So this gift was to the saints who needed it, and it was to the Lord. And our gifts to missions are to saints who need it to spread the gospel, and it's to the Lord. And so when you look back and you see the missionaries that we've supported and we do support, the money we give is to them, yes, but more than that, it's to the Lord, because it's his work they're doing. And they're taking the gospel to these people who need it, and it's his work. So we really give to the Lord. Now let's look at this passage then and see the mechanics of the giving. Look at the mechanics of the giving. It's illustrated by Jesus, first of all. He uses Jesus as an example in verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So Jesus is the illustration. He was willing to sacrifice so that he could give to us. Now, Jesus was willing to do this. He planned ahead to do it. In fact, it was planned before the foundation of the world that Jesus would come. Well, our grace giving is planned. It shouldn't be just a haphazard thing. You come to church one day and somebody says there's a need for missions and, I got a dollar left over and I'll give that. It should be something you plan for and you prepare for. Let's notice how they planned for it. Look at verse 10 of chapter 8. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. The Corinthians planned ahead to do this a year ago. Now, they'd slacked off a little bit, but they made plans. They planned a year ahead to do this when Paul came by that they would give this gift. Look at chapter 9, verse 2. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you of them to them in Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. In other words, Paul, when he went to the Macedonians, said, you know, we want you to give. Did you know the Corinthians? They planned a year ago to give. And Paul bragged on them. They haven't given yet, but Paul bragged on them and said they're planning to. They're going to give. And so it was planned ahead of time. Look at verse 7 of chapter 9. Every man according to his purpose and in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Every man according as his purpose in his heart. You purpose to do this. Now, those of you who might not be familiar with our missionary giving, we have a missions conference once a year. And the purpose of that missions conference is to stir us up about missions and to get us ready for the coming year, which the missions giving year starts in May, and get us ready for that and help us to plan purpose in our heart. And so we have a faith promise card that we have everybody fill out if they will. And on that faith promise card, you promise how much you're going to give to missions. You purpose in your heart. But we ask you not to put your name on it. We don't want to know who you are. Don't want to know that Mr. So-and-so played so much. I don't want to know that. Now, some of the treasure, you know, because they get the gifts in, they'll understand who gives so much. But I tell them I don't want to know. And so I deliberately don't know what people give. And so but God wants us to purpose in our heart. So we purpose ahead of time. It's between us and the Lord. And when we fill that out, it's just to give us an idea of what to expect for the year, and to plan for the year. But it's between you and the Lord. And so you purpose in your heart, though. It's not haphazard. You plan. And you purpose in your heart. Lord, I'm going to give this much for missions. And so you make that purpose. It's planned ahead of time. Also, as far as the mechanics of this giving, it's performed willingly. Look at verse 3 of chapter 8. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. The Macedonians gave beyond their power, but they were willing to do it. That's why Paul might have balked and said, well, wait a minute, you sure you can afford this? And they said, please, Paul, take this money. And so they planned ahead of time, and they were willing to do it. Look at verse 8, chapter 10, or chapter 8, verse 10. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now there perform the doing of it. You plan to do it. Now perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so they planned ahead of time, they were ready to will it, so there may be a performance also of that which ye have. And so they said, we will. Paul said, well, let's follow through with what you planned. You planned ahead. Let's follow through with what you planned. And so the giving, the method of it, well, the mechanics of it was planned ahead of time, is performed willingly, and it was persistent. Look at verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. It was persistent. Paul probably, as I said, might have offered objections. He might have said, this is too much. I mean, you are suffering. But they were persistent. And they said they were with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. So they entreated Paul to take the gift. And so it was persistent. And it says in verse 3, beyond their power to do it didn't keep them from doing it. Some would have said, well, you're not able to give. But they said, we want to give, and we're going to sacrifice to give. Jesus sacrificed for us. We should sacrifice for him. And this giving was sacrificial. Let's look at it again, verse 3. For to their power I bear record, and beyond their power, their willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. And so they sacrificed to give. Jesus became poor that we might be rich. The cross this morning we talked about. Jesus was sacrificing so he could give to us. Sometimes we need to sacrifice so we can give to the Lord. You know, sometimes you can say, well, I can't do that. I'm not able to. I believe the Lord sometimes wants us to pray so that we will be able. You remember Hannah? She didn't have a child. She said, Lord, if you will give me a child, I'll give him back to you. Some of you might be in a place where you say, I really can't do that. Have you asked the Lord to give to you so you can do it? And God wants us to do that. God wants us to be willing. God wants us to be willing to sacrifice. And God wants us to do it for him. This giving was also generous. Verse 2 of chapter 8. How that in the great trial of your affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. That doesn't mean they were liberal Christians in the sense we know of liberalism today. It means that they were generous Christians. They were liberal in their giving. And so he says that they were liberal givers. Look at chapter 9, verse 13. It says that was of the Macedonians, but now he talks about the Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 13. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection of the gospel of Christ, for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. These same word in both verses, the liberality, and it means that they were very generous in their giving. God blesses generosity, and God blesses that all the time. He all the time blesses, and God is so good, and it behooves us to be good and giving to the Lord. Also, our grace giving is proportionate. Look at verse 12 of chapter 8. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that the other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there be equality, as it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing left over, he that gathered little had no lack. And so it's proportionate. You give what according to what God has given you. And God wants you to do that. I read an illustration, I might have shared it one time, I can't remember. But this man says, a man knelt with his pastor and committed himself to God to give a certain percent of his income as long as he lived. As long as he lived. From his first week's pay, he gave a dollar to the Lord. Soon his weekly offering had increased to $10. As time went on, he continued to prosper. Before long, he was giving $100 a week, and then $200. And in time, $500 a week. Finally, he called the pastor. He said, please come and see me. He said, it's urgent. When the minister arrived, the host said, you remember that promise I made to God years ago? How can I get released from it? When I made the promise, all I had to give was a dollar, but now it's $500, and I can't afford to give away that much money. The wise old pastor looked at his friend and said, I'm afraid you can't get a release from the promise, but there is something we can do. We can kneel down and ask God to shrink your income so that you can afford to give a dollar again. Yes, God wants us to give as we can, and He blesses us so that we can, and so we give proportionally. Also, God's giving is a grace giving is to be cheerful. Look at verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to usward, that ye may abound in the grace, in this grace also. And for it says in, that God loveth a cheerful giver. I think I looked at the wrong passage. Verse 7 of chapter 9. Every man according as he purposes his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We're not to give grudgingly. I've said before, if you grudge and don't want to give to the Lord, just keep it. You know, we have the mistaken idea that God needs it. No, God doesn't. If God doesn't get it from you, He'll get it from somebody else. God doesn't need it. He'll get His work done. You mark it down, God will get His work done. He's sovereign. But He gives us the privilege of getting in on it. And so we shouldn't give grudgingly. And if it hurts for you to pull your billfold out or write your check, if it hurts, just don't give it. Ask the Lord to change your attitude. I don't think God will be hurt. I mean, I know He won't. And I don't believe the church will be hurt either. God will send it in some way. But we need to give willingly. And so God desires for us to give willingly and cheerfully. The word cheerful there is the word hilarious. And it's the Greek word ileron, which we get our word hilarious from. And so God wants us to give so that we enjoy it and we, you know, we really feel good doing it. It's hilarious to give to the Lord. Now let's notice the effects of this kind of giving to the Lord. The effects, we find first of all that grace giving proves our love for God. Chapter 8, verse 8. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, I'm sorry, that's chapter 10. I'm getting chapters mixed up here. Chapter 8, verse 8. Chapter 8, verse 8. I speak not by commandment, by occasion of the forwardness of others, to prove the sincerity of your love. Now, I didn't write that. God did. Paul said, you give, and your giving to the Lord proves the sincerity of your love. You know, many times we don't give to the Lord because we love the money and what it can buy us. God says the question is, how much do you love the Lord? And so you prove the sincerity of your love to the Lord by giving to the Lord. Chapter 8, verse 24, he says in verse 24, he says, wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of your boasting on your behalf. The proof of your love. Again, God said that. God says, as you're willing to give to God, you prove your love to the Lord. Also, grace giving provides encouragement to others. You know, as you give to the Lord, it encourages others. You know, I've noticed sometimes that we'll have a big offering on Sunday. And you sometimes think, well, I hope that doesn't make people think, well, I shouldn't give, or I don't have to give, because, you know, it's last Sunday the offering was over $8,000. Now, I happen to know where part of that came from, because it was sent to me to give to the church, somebody that you don't even know. But they responded, they wanted to bless our church, and they sent that money. But, you know, I noticed that today, the offering is still up. That's the way it should be. Giving should encourage other people to give. And we have a big offering. It should never make us say, well, then I don't need to give because of money. Maybe God has something special, and He does. You know, some of that's dedicated to a building fund. You know what that's for. And so God wants us to do things, and He wants to bless us. And so giving should encourage other people to give. Look at verse 6 of chapter 8. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. What grace? The grace that the Macedonians had to give. And Titus is to teach the Corinthians to give the same way. So the Macedonians encouraged the Corinthians to give. And your faithfulness to the Lord will encourage others. Many times I've heard stories of people who give to the Lord, and they tell something like this. I give because I learned it from my dad. I learned it from my mom. And their example encouraged me to give. Your giving encourages someone else. They don't have to know who gave. It just encouraged them to know that God's people are responding. And look at chapter 9, verse 2. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them in Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. The fact that you promised to give, I told them about it. And it prompted them to give. And now their giving is used to prompt you to give because you promised you would, but you haven't yet. But it worked both ways, you know. They encouraged each other to give by their giving. And so God wants his people to give. He says you'll have effects from it. Another effect is grace giving prompts blessings from God. Look at chapter 9, verse 6. It says, for this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I read an account of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and it was in here. I can do it better if I just read it to you. But Charles Haddon Spurgeon, when the British preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon went to Bristol for the purpose of ministering there, he hoped to collect £300 to support his work with the homeless children in London. At the end of the week of meetings, many people had been blessed, and his financial goal had been reached. That night as he bowed in prayer, Spurgeon seemed to hear a voice from the Lord saying, give that money to George Mueller. Oh no, Lord, answered the minister. I needed it for my own dear orphanages. Yet he couldn't shake the idea that God wanted him to part with it and give it to George Mueller. George Mueller is a famous servant of God that ministered in had orphanage ministries. And only when he said, yes, Lord, I will, could he find rest. Early in the morning, he made his way to Mueller's orphanage and found that great man of God on his knees in prayer. The famous preacher placed his hand on his shoulder and said, George, God told me to give this £300 I've collected. My dear brother, said Mueller, I've just been asking him for exactly that amount. The two servants of the Lord then wept and rejoiced together. When Spurgeon returned to London, he found a letter on his desk containing 300 guineas. I don't know what that is, but they'll explain it here. There, he cried with joy, the Lord has returned my £300 with 300 shillings interest. So God blessed. You see, the Lord says, you give and I'll give. He says, it'll prompt blessings from God when you give to him. So you might say, well, I can't afford to give. Really, if you want God's blessings, you can't afford not to give. God blesses those who give. Verse 6 again, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Verse 8, and he says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God will make his grace abound to you, and you'll have all sufficiency for all things that you may abound in his work if you just are faithful to give to the Lord. Grace giving brings grace back from God. And it pays to serve the Lord and to give to the Lord. Also, grace giving produces something else. And with this we'll close. But look at chapter 9, verse 11. Chapter 9, verse 11. It says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Have you ever noticed that stingy people are not thankful people? But giving people are thankful people. They also usually are happy people. And so if you want to be happy and if you want to enjoy the Lord, then be willing to give to him. He's been willing to give to you. So be willing to give to him. And it'll produce, when you do, it'll produce thanksgiving. And you'll be thankful to the Lord for His blessings. God wants us to give. It's up to you how you give. It's none of my business. But God wants you to give, and God will bless you for it. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for reminding us about giving to you. Lord, there's so many people who are cheated out of a blessing because they hold everything close and they accept your blessings with clenched fist rather than open hand. And I pray, Lord, that we might always have an open hand policy, that you give it to us, Lord, but we're willing to let go of it, to use it for your glory. You provide for us, you always have, and you'll continue to, but may we be willing to give to you. Make our people a giving people. We believe they are, but help us to be more giving to you, and give us people, Lord, who are willing to give as well. We know your work will be provided for if we do things in your way, and so we pray for your blessing, and we thank you for the privilege to give. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.